Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill. I am the pastor of Providence Church, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America. It's great to have you here again for what is the final edition of Season 2 of the Morning Devotional. Today is Friday, January 15th, 2021. This is edition number 62. We are in Season 2 of the Morning Devotional. We will conclude with the reading of God's Word and considering the words of Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to the end of the chapter. But let's pray together first, and then we'll take these words up this morning. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, as we come to your Word this morning, we are conscious of the fact that we must have your help. We need your Spirit to understand these things. And so, be pleased to grant what you have promised to your children, that we would indeed understand these words and they would be useful to strengthen us and to help us in our journey as pilgrims in this world. We do pray that you might bless your word as it's read, as it's explained, and that you might use it for the good of your people. We do pray for your church, that you would continue to purify her, that you would bless her and watch over her, and that you would continue to persevere your people in, even to the very end of their lives. We pray, O Lord, that you would make all of us as holy as is possible for sinners. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, we are going to be reading Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to the end of the chapter. Let's read together. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 24. "Everyone, then, who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Here we have, again, as we have seen already in this chapter, we have Jesus now referring to really two building programs. While many people tend to put a lot of emphasis on the foundation of which the house is built in this text, I think the real issue here is one of a building program. That is, of course, a person, an individual, who, as Jesus has explained in verse 24, as well as in verse 26, that person who hears the words of the Scriptures. Now, in context, Jesus here is referring to these words that he has been preaching ever since he began this sermon all the way back in chapter 5. But we can easily apply that, I think, to the broader scope of the full canon of God's Word. That is, wherever the Spirit of God speaks through the Word, We are hearing those words. But of course, the real question, and as we consider the issues that are presented to us in these verses this morning, is really the type of building program one is engaged in. The first man is one who hears the words that Christ speaks, or hears the preaching of God's word particularly, but also hears the word of God as read. He hears them and does them. In other words, as we saw yesterday, this issue before us is again one of obedience. It's a matter of obedience. It's an issue of obedience. And it has, of course, eternal consequence. The first man who builds is one who is wise. Why is he wise? Because he hears the words of Christ and he does what he hears. Therefore, he builds his house on a solid foundation, and when the trials and tribulations of life come to him, he is able to withstand. He's persevered both through the diligent use of the outward means of grace and in obedience to the things that he hears and reads, as well as in the Spirit of God who is working in him to will and to do of his good pleasure. This man is described as one who is wise. And we have the other builder in this narrative, in this text. We have the builder who is described as a foolish man. He is one who hears the word as the wise man did. The difference between the foolish man and the wise man is that the foolish man does not do what he hears. Now, my friends, there are people like that in our churches today. Perhaps you're one of them. They hear the Word of God proclaimed faithfully. They hear the living voice of Christ given and offered to the congregation. They are exhorted. They are appealed to. The minister, if he's worth anything at all, is laboring to bring the Word of God to bear upon the heart and life of the individuals that are listening. The real question, of course, is, are you a wise man? Do you hear the Word of God and do what it says? Or are you the foolish man who hears the Word of God and rejects it? Now, that rejection can come in so many different ways. Oftentimes, it'll come in just nitpicking the poor pastor to death about his sermon. It wasn't as perfect as you think it should be, or didn't say everything it was supposed to say, or didn't say something you liked. Be that as it may, that's all nice and fine and good. But the fact remains that as we hear the Word of God, the wise man hears and he latches on to, he responds to something in the sermon or in the Word of God read that that he endeavors to put into practice in his Christian life. I was talking with an elder friend of mine in my previous call, and one of the things I encouraged him to do is he struggled to try to remember everything that was said in a sermon. One of the things I encouraged him to do was to simply latch on to something in that sermon that is about him, his life, circumstance, that he can then practice, put into practice in his life. We're not going to remember everything that is preached. We're not going to remember everything that we read, as much as we would like to. The important salient truth of this text is that the wise man, the builder, the wise builder is one who is characterized by doing exactly what he says. The other issue that is presented here, and one that is somewhat frightening, much like the previous verses in verses 21 to 23, is that there are two ends also given. The wise builder who hears the word and does what it says is one that perseveres to the end. He does not fail. The winds blow and beat on the house. It doesn't fall because it had been founded on the rock. The other end is one of great tragedy. It's the ones that sit in the pew and hear the word of God presented each week and refuse or don't even make any effort whatsoever to put into practice what they hear. Jesus says that if that's you, then the travails of life, the issues of life will present itself and they will beat against your life, beat against that house, and it will fall. And great is that fall. Now, D.A. Carson, he again is very helpful here as he explains a point of this narrative that I frankly didn't consider until I read his words. The question really is Jesus trying to frighten people here? Is he trying to scare people into the kingdom? Well, in some sense, I think he is. Because we're not dealing with just a minor matter of our human existence. We are dealing with life and death. We are dealing with eternal destiny. And Jesus is pressing the frightening aspects of the eternal destiny into the lives of people. D.A. Carson uses an illustration here in his little book on the Sermon on the Mount, and he says this: if you are sleeping soundly in a house desperately threatened by rising floodwaters, you may thank me for pounding at your door to rouse you. At the very least, you are not likely to accuse me of frightening you into safety. Frighten you I shall, affect your removal to a safe place I may attempt, but you would not accuse me of frightening you into safety. And so here, I think, legitimately, we can conclude, and at least at some level, that Jesus is indeed trying to frighten people into the reality of life and death, heaven and hell. And that's exactly what this issue is. Those who hear the Word of God and do what it says are ones that are marked as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I said yesterday, your obedience doesn't merit a thing. Your obedience does not earn a thing. You will never be obedient enough in this life to earn the favor of God. That is precisely why you need a Savior. But as one who says, I'm a follower of Christ, then it's marked by obedience. It's the wise man who hears the word and does what it says. The foolish man who is either deceived himself into believing that he's a Christian when in fact he's really not, or knows he's not at all, whatever the case may be, the foolish man is characterized by a life of disobedience. One conclusion, one consequence is the glories of heaven. The other consequence is the misery of hell itself. And so it is vitally important subject for us to consider that even as we hear the Word of God read each week, as we hear it preached every week, we're reminded of Westminster Larger Catechism, question and answer 160. I use this often with my congregation, and I'll give it to you for your own edification. And the question is offered, what is required of those that hear the word preached? Now, that's the living voice of Christ speaking insofar as a minister of the gospel, an ordained man, is speaking faithfully from the text of the Bible. The answer is, it is required of those to hear the word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Examine what they hear by the scriptures. Receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the word of God. Meditate and confer of it. Hide it in their hearts and bring forth the fruit of it in their lives. There are many things here to unpack, and the time is getting away from me, and I don't have the time to give it its due diligence. But first, we attend to the scriptures with diligence. We don't rush into the worship of God and sit there and drop ourselves in the seat with no forethought, with no preparation. We wouldn't do that if we were going out to a fancy restaurant on an anniversary meal with our spouse. We make effort to be diligent to prepare for the worship of God and to hear His word in our hearts and minds. We pray that the Spirit of God would speak through the preaching of the word. We examine what we hear by the scriptures, like the Bereans. We look and see if these things are so. We receive the things that are offered with faith and love and meekness and readiness of mind. In other words, we're not critics. There are too many critics in the pews, criticizing everything the pastor says. Friends, your pastor has never preached a perfect sermon, and he's never going to. But if he's worth anything, he labors in the study, in the Word of God, laboring over the Word of God, in prayer, about the Word that will be spoken and proclaimed on the Lord's Day. So we receive it with readiness of mind. We meditate upon it. We go home. We talk about it with our families. We think about what we have heard in the sermon. We confer with it. That means we converse. We have conversations with one another. We hide it in our hearts. We apply it to our very lives, even as the minister has done. And then we seek to be obedient, bringing forth fruit of it in our lives. That's the wise man. The foolish man is the opposite of everything I just read. He doesn't prepare. He has no diligence to prepare. He doesn't pray. He's picking at the sermon all the time. He doesn't seek to meditate upon what is said. He doesn't look to confer with it or even hide it in his heart. And he could care less about being obedient. Because after all, he walked an aisle and he prayed a prayer, and that's that. My friends, that is not the gospel. Those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have been united to Him by faith, will seek to bring forth fruit in their lives and obey that which the Lord Jesus Christ says. That's the wise man. The foolish man says he's got a date and a place, but there's no evidence of obedience, no evidence of union and communion with the triune God. His life is absent of any fruit whatsoever. The wise man has a solid foundation. The foolish man doesn't. The wise man ends in the glories of heaven. The foolish man doesn't. It is indeed frightening, but it also should spark in the followers of Christ. It should fan into flame even more so for the followers of Christ to strive to bring forth fruit in our lives. We so desperately need it. It also is designed to quicken the minds and hearts of the lazy and the negligent. I don't know which one you are, but I do know this. We all must strive by all the appointments and using the outward means of grace, the word, the sacraments, and prayer to persevere as wise people in this world. Well, I trust these times are a blessing for you. I hope they are, and I know that sometimes they are rather pointed. But if you have any questions or comments, you can leave me a note. The information is there before you on the screen. Well, this concludes Season 2 of the Morning Devotional. Beginning Monday, I will begin Season 3, and I've determined to work through the book of Proverbs, extracting from Proverbs various themes and topics and issues that I think can help and should help God's people. It is a book of wisdom. It was written by Solomon, by and large. And so there we will find great help as we practically live the Christian life. Wise men seeking to do whatever it is the Lord Jesus Christ tells us to do. That will begin on Monday, same time, Monday through Friday, Lord willing. We will be looking at the wisdom of Solomon and dealing with various issues that come from those 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Well, may God bless you and may he help you this weekend. May you be in God's worship, and may you seek to confer and hear and bring forth fruits of the very word preached in your hearing. God bless.